Thank you, praise team and the band. Really appreciate it. Good morning, church. Thank you. So glad to stand before you this morning. It is always humbling, you know, to stand before great men and women of God and try to share what God is putting on your heart. It's never an easy thing. And so I really humble myself to stand before you and share the word of God. As Brother Benjamin has already put it, Pastor Walker and Pastor Haley are out, and they're out for a Rema business, and they'll be with us this later in the day. And so we ask God's traveling mercies upon their lives. And so today I was asked to stand and share the word of God and just continue with the series that Pastor Walker has been teaching on. I would also like to appreciate the ladies that went to the Kindle, the Flame Conference. I totally agree with Mrs. Chikoti. Christians are abnormal. They are always abnormal. You've seen those vehicles, those big vehicles. They usually carry a red flag around it with a red number plate. You see on the thing near the number plate, it's written abnormal Lord. Behind abnormal Lord. Christians are abnormal. You know, last night, speaking about the abnormality of Christians, they are abnormal in everything they do. Abnormal in their love, in their care, they are always abnormal. That's why even, I think they take after their father. Whenever God wants to do things, he always does it abnormally, in a way you cannot understand. Last night was really a very strange night. I'm at home and I want to fix my mind and everything on what I was going to do today. I'm trying to fix my life there. And suddenly the little girl at home, I developed some temperature and things like that. We begin to run around. And I said, bring that child here. And then I said, we take this child to the hospital so that the doctors will advise us what to do. We have prayed, we have believed, but we really don't want to, you know, take things for granted. And so we go to the hospital, a government hospital, in the night, only to find the security guard. And the guy at the reception who says, we are sorry to tell you that actually the workers are on strike. I say, oh, workers are on strike. What do we do? There's no one to attend to you. And then we said, okay, let's go to a private hospital. We went to a private hospital. Things were done there. We left the place. As we were coming back home, we managed to get home. But when we got there, I don't know. I just hit something which was a thing right in front of our home. I hit into the thing. The whole of that system which holds even that the exhaust pipe, it just came off, boom, on the ground. I'm saying, oh. And my wife says, you know what? Those are attacks of the devil. Ignore him. And then I say, how can I ignore him? Because I'm preaching tomorrow. Do you want me to walk to church and preach? I say, ignore him. And I followed that advice. Thank God for women. They really give us advice that you can rely on. And I chose to ignore him. And this morning, I called somebody. I said, hey, I've got no transport. I'm going to preach. Would you give me a lift? Now, I'm talking about the abnormality of Christians. Would you give me a lift? He said, oh, yeah, I'm coming up. Oh, yes, I'll come and pick you up. I said, oh, great. He comes to pick me up. I ask for a lift. But guess what? He gave me his newly acquired V8 and VX Land Cruiser. Newly acquired. I asked for a lift, but I was given a VX Land Cruiser. Isn't that abnormal? Glory be to God. God is good. And all the time. Glory be to God. Thank you very much. Turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. P Please be with me today as I give you what the Lord has put upon my heart. Turn with me to the First Corinthians chapter 2. Apostle Paul writes, "When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power." Let's stand up as we open with a word of prayer. Let's stand up. This is my prayer today, that as you listen to the word, as you see me minister the word of God, I want you to focus on what God is saying. I know you have a lot of things to adjust today. You adjust. It's a different voice that you are hearing. You make adjustment there, please. And above all, you have to adjust because you are used to seeing a person who is speaking is here, but if some of you adjust in the height, you make adjustment in those areas. But really, I want you to pay attention to what will be said today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for the agenda you have for each one of us today. As your word comes to us, because you said the entry of your word in us brings light and gives understanding to the simple, may your word bring light to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Before you sit, I would like you to welcome the most important person today, the person that is preaching here today. A very eloquent teacher, very powerful teacher, the teacher that you have never heard before, bringing revelations that you have never heard before. Please, let's welcome the Holy Spirit in the assembly. Thank you. Take a seat. Glory be to God. God is good. Pastor Walker has been speaking, has been teaching us from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And that's where I'm going to speak from this morning. He has been speaking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That I told him when he started the series, I said, "You're touching my favorite subjects in the Bible is about this." The reason being, when some of us got saved, kind of, there was somebody following you behind and saying, "From here now you go to the next level. From here you go to the next. From here you go to the next." And so we were kind of being drilled in those issues. When I got saved, later on I was the next thing. You begin to evangelize. From here you should begin to evangelize. And I took it. And as a matter of fact, most of my friends, I got saved quite at a very early age. And guess what? Most of my friends got saved. Because I was told, "You've got to evangelize." You know where I started from? From the people closest to me. Doom, doom, doom. They got saved. Later on in life, we're told, you know what? As a believer, you're not just supposed to receive salvation and sit there. You know, as a believer, you pray for the sick. You do all this, all this. And later on, I learned of the power of the authority of the believer. When then you go there, it's like, who is sick today? Where are they? We went on rampage looking for who we can lay hands on. Even ignorantly, with things we didn't understand, we just say, "Where are they?" Just doom, in Jesus' name. And we did all this kind of thing. And so when it comes to issues like this, they become very close to my heart because I pass through this kind of situation. I want you to really pay attention on these issues. Apostle Paul says, tells the Corinthians that, "I do not want you to be ignorant on these issues," in verse 1. Actually, he was saying, I don't want you, in other version, he says, I do not want you to be uninformed on these issues of the spiritual gifts. And my emphasis to you today, if this need was with the Corinthians, you know the need I'm talking about? Ignorance. If it was with the Corinthians, my emphasis to you, my encouragement to you, is that you should never be ignorant about these issues. You should never be. There are reasons why Apostle Paul says, brethren, you should not be uninformed about these issues. There are significance. There is a significance attached to that. Because when you are ignorant of what you are supposed to do, you miss the benefits of that particular thing. It reminds me of an advert I used to see on TV some years back. There is a company in town here that used to invite the old batteries, car batteries, that one thought they were of no use now to throw them away. They used to invite them. They sent a gentleman who was sitting on a very old and dead battery, sitting on it. Now, underneath the battery, there was money. The battery was actually sitting on the money, and this guy was sitting on the battery with holes, with trousers with holes all over. Vigamba. Patches, holes, there. And the shirt, it's like it was washed 2 years ago. And this guy was seated there. You know what that means? The guy was poor, but sitting on wealth. How I wish the guy knew. He was not going to sit on the battery. He was just going to lift the battery, cool, and move it this way, and got what was beneath the battery, and solve that problem. And so he sat on the battery. All he could see was the battery. Let me just sit and rest. No, you don't rest when the trousers have got holes. Apostle Paul says, brethren, on these issues, I do not want you to be uninformed. I do not want you to be ignorant on these issues. So, that is my encouragement to all of us. No one should be ignorant on these issues. And today, again, these gifts of the Holy Spirit, these supernatural abilities, supernatural endowments, the supernatural skills that are so divine, they come from God Himself through a channel that is a human being. A believer, of course. And so really, these are things we should yearn for. They are things we should just go and grab. Do not be ignorant about these things. I always say they are tools. These are tools. One time I was speaking with a doctor, a friend of mine, who was a medical doctor, and I said, I've seen that most of you guys, you carry a small bag when you're going for work and you're coming from work. You always have a small bag or something like that. Are you the one that taught the Jehovah's Witness to carry those, or you learned from them? And he says, and then I said, just what is in that little bag that you doctors carry? You've seen them. You've seen doctors with those things? A small bag. They always carry a small bag and something like that. You wonder what is there. No, I used to wonder what was there. Whether there was a Bible or there was something and something like that. And I said, what is there? And he says, it's interesting if I tell you what you find there. Usually there are only two things. And I say, what are those? He says, one. When you see a doctor carrying a small bag or something like that, there are only two things there. And they're not. It says, one, there is a book that he's reading. Because doctors read a lot. You agree with me? Do I have medical doctors in the house? Say amen. Oh, they are there. They read a lot, more than a lot of us. And then he said, secondly, there is that thing they call, what do you call it? Stethoscope. He said, that's all. Then I was doing a funeral of one of the medical doctors in this country. I mean, the UTH, they are going through those rituals of theirs and something like that. I conduct a service there. And I saw them taking one of the things that they put in the coffin for that particular medical doctor was that stethoscope. They die with it. They go with it. I say, why is it so? He said, because that's the tool. A stethoscope is one of the most important tools a doctor is actually the most basic tool the doctor uses. In our country, where facilities are limited, doctors depend on that to do almost anything. So it's a tool. And Apostle Paul is telling Christians not to be ignorant about the most important tool they need in their lives. So these gifts of the Holy Spirit are tools a Christian can depend on, but they are supernaturally endowed by the Holy Spirit. So let's read what I'm talking about. I will give a lot of scriptures. Please be ready to write them. And I believe that at the end of this session, something should happen to you. Either God should be telling you maybe to be doing things you haven't been doing, or some of you, I don't know, I intend to do ministry at the end of this session. I may do ministry just to pray. But I do not know yet how I'm going to pray for this, because what I'm talking about to you today is the gifts of healing. Let's go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. First Corinthians chapter 12. So we'll start with verse 1. Now, about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. Verse 7. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. Verse 10. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. 11. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. And so, I've already said, these are tools we all need and we all desperately need for us to function in our calling as believers. As a Christian, we haven't just been called to go to heaven. We've been called to do work on earth. And the only way we can do work on earth is with the help of the Holy Spirit himself, and not on our own. And so, we're looking at the gift of healing. Gifts, then plural, of healing. I'm speaking about this subject at no better time than this. As I told you, a lot of government hospitals are on strike. They are on, you call it, is it a ghost law or whatever, they're not working. And I was at a private clinic last night, a private hospital. I saw a lot of evacuation. People being removed from government hospitals, being taken to private hospitals. I could hear the amounts that were being quoted for them. And I could hear people making decisions right and then as to how they could meet all those charges at You know, you have a person probably in the ICU in the UTH. Now you have to transfer that person to a private hospital. Maybe you have already spent part of the money in government hospital, and now you have to transfer that person into the private hospital. How many people see that? That is a hassle. It's a lot more than you had anticipated. And so this message is coming to us today. At a time such as this, maybe some of your relatives in those areas will depend on you to be laid hands on in Jesus' mighty name. Or maybe as I speak today, some of those will be hit by the power of God wherever they are, and they will get out of those hospitals and go to a place where they will save some money. How many people know that sickness is from the devil? It comes to this. We spend things we never budgeted for. And that's why the Bible says he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He steals your joy, destroys your finances. He can kill life as well. And so we should learn to resist him. That the Bible says resist him and he will flee from you. Never you see the devil coming to your house and say, you know what, today I'll just give you one room, tomorrow I'll kick you out. You will never. Once you give him one room, he will make sure that he goes into the other rooms as well. Right at the door, resist him in Jesus' name. He will steal your joy. He will kill life. He will destroy your economy. So the message today, I believe something needs to happen. We need to take these tools. You are there. You need to say, Lord, I know I cannot determine whether me, I'm the one you're going to use to heal somebody. But if it's me, Lord, according to your word, let it be. And from here, show me the person I can go to in Jesus' name. And this gift will come to you with the desire that you have in your heart. The gift of healing. As I say, these are supernatural endowments. Now the spirit, the gift of healing is a supernatural healing of diseases without any natural means. There's no natural means involved. As it comes supernaturally. When Apostle Paul was moving around in those mission trips where he was healing people, we've seen in Matthew, Jesus Christ doing a lot of healing, and we're going to read a lot of those scriptures. One of the person in the company was the medical doctor, and that is Dr. Luke. Dr. Luke is the author of the book of the Gospel of Luke in the Bible. He's also the author of the Acts of the Holy Spirit. You call it the Acts of the Disciples. But I think someone corrected us some time back saying, it's not the Acts of the Disciples. Actually, the book of Acts is full of nothing but the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Luke is the author of those two books. And now, when Apostle Paul was healing, Luke was present. And yet the Bible hasn't indicated to us anyway that Luke used his medical skill to heal any one of those. Guess who healed them? God. Through Paul. And so these gifts, they come to us. Paul was flowing in the supernatural healing power of God. Peter was flowing in the supernatural power of God. Philip and all these guys, they were flowing in the supernatural power of God. We've heard, apart from those, you may say, those are those. But how about nowadays? Haven't you heard preachers like Teal Osborne? Haven't you heard of preachers like Oral Roberts? Haven't you heard of preachers like Kenneth Hagin? Haven't you heard in our own country? Haven't you heard people like Pastor David Newberry? Haven't you heard people like Christopher Alam? God uses them extensively in issues like that. And so that is a supernatural ability from God, healing the sick. It is the power of God to destroy sickness. Why? Because God wants to deliver his people from those oppressions. Jesus Christ himself demonstrated this when he went about healing the people. Matthew chapter 4, verses 23 to 25. Matthew 4. The Bible reads, verse 23. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease. Mark that, every disease. Leprosy inclusive. Every disease. And sickness among the people. And verse 24, news about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases. Those suffering severe pain, the demon possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed. And he healed them. 25, large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. That was Jesus Christ, flowing in the healing power of God. Healed anything from malaria, from fever, to leprosy. Anything in between, healed by Jesus Christ. You know what he was using? He was flowing in the gift of healing. He was flowing in the supernatural power to heal the oppressed, to deliver the oppressed. In Matthew chapter 15, verses 30 to 31, Matthew 15, 30 to 31, the Bible reads, great crowds came to him, bringing the lame, that is Jesus, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others, and told them, and taught them at his feet, and laid them rather at his feet. And he healed them. The people were amazed when they saw the mute speaking, something very unusual. The crippled made well, the lame walking, and the blind seeing. And they praised the God of Israel. Hallelujah. They saw Jesus flowing in these things, and so they praised God. We saw Peter, Apostle Peter, flowing in the gifts of healing. The book of Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. I say, please, just be ready to write some of those things. Don't refer to them. Just write those scriptures. You go through them later. But if you can run with me at this speed, that's fine. Acts chapter 5, verse 15. I'll read verse 16 as well. As a result, people brought the sick into the street and laid them on beds and mats. So that at least, listen to this, so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Amazing. Shadow. Peter is passing like this. He doesn't even notice you. But you have been put on the side of the street and his shadow hits you and you are made well. How I pray that at the voice coming from this place, wherever you are, you'll be made whole in Jesus' name. I'm wondering why things like this are recorded. Is it for us to praise Peter? Not at all. Why are things like those recorded? It's for us to know that our God is great in battle. Our God is great in power. Our God is great in Zion. There is a song we sing. You do miracles so great. There is no one like you. You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, I lift my hands in worship as I lift your holy name. You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, I lift my hands in worship as I lift Holy name, for you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you, for you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. I read it to you earlier on the first book of Corinthians chapter 2. Apostle Paul says, when I came to you, I did not come with eloquent words. I did not come to you with enticement. But I came to you in the demonstration of power. Why are things recorded here? They are recorded here to reveal the greatness of our God. So that your faith should not hinge on testimonies of men, but on testimonies of the Holy Spirit. A shadow. Peter's passing. A shadow. In some instances, it was the handkerchief. He gets it from his pocket like this and throw it at somebody like that. And that person got healed. On top of that, somebody ran with this and went to find a sick person in the UTH and just put it like this in the name of Jesus Christ. And a person got healed. And that's why you've heard some people doing all sorts of funny things in the body of Christ today. Oh no, this is holy water. Not just when you put it on somebody, they're going to be healed. Oh no, there is nothing special about you or about your handkerchief. What is special is about the power of God. No, you can do that. If God says, just send this to a person, pray for it and send it to the person, they'll be healed. If God instructs that, that's well, that's cool. But if it becomes a tradition because God used you once and then you want to cheat people, you want to sell the water, you draw it from the Kafua River or from the water and sewerage camp and tap, and then you go and take it to the people, that's misleading people. The power to heal does not lay in that water. It lays in the hand of God himself. The shadow of Peter was nothing. It was just a shadow like mine. It is not the shadow that healed. It is the power of God. Apostle Paul says, I did not come to you with these things. I came to you with a demonstration of the power and the Spirit, so that your faith does not hinge or stand on the wisdom of men, but it stands on the power of God, who is able to heal and do greater things than imagined. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. God is good. And all the time, He's a good God. He's a healer. He's a provider. Hallelujah. We see Peter healing people that way. This was the gift of healing. And guess what? When things like this happen, it attracts crowds. You see the glory of God? You see the reason why God wants to do these things? So that the doubting Thomases will come to believe that there is a God in Zion. It's not about you. It's not about me. The things that have happened, when I read things like this, and I've acted in certain ways, the things that have happened in my life, where I say, Lord, is it going to happen tomorrow? If those things were happening in my life every day, probably every camera would have been on me. Is this going to happen today? And God says, if you go tomorrow, you're going on your own. Okay, Lord. I've seen a lot of adverts in this country. Come, you're going to do this, you're going to receive this. Come, your poverty is going to end. When I lay my hands on you, things are going to end. I say, what are you going to do with the poverty of somebody? You? No, come to me. If you come to me, all these things, all these problems, God. And I'm saying, come to who? To you? And Apostle Paul says, I do not want the faith of people to hinge on the wisdom of men. Why can't we say, come to Jesus Christ? He will be able to sort out your issues. If he uses me well. The Son of God, Jesus Christ himself, humbled himself to the point of death. And God has raised him and is giving him a name above any other name. In heaven or on earth or under the earth. Humility. Stability will flow. We use in these things here. Be quick to point out to God when things happen. He's responsible for that. Oh, talking about Peter. Paul, Acts chapter 28, Apostle Paul. Acts chapter 28, verse 8. The Bible reads, his father was sick, a certain gentleman who was a leader on a certain island. He was actually the leader, like a governor of that island. Now his father was in bed, sick, suffering from fever and dysentery. Paul went in to see him, and after prayer, placed his hands on him and healed him. When this had happened, the rest of the sick on the island came and were cured. This is Apostle Paul. He goes, like here, we would say, he goes to the minister. He called the minister of state in charge of a province. And he found, no, my father is actually dying. He's in bed. And Apostle Paul says, I've come to visit him. Can we go and visit him? Where is he? That's what he said, here. I just went there. And guess what? He had what? Fever and what? Dysentery. You know what dysentery does? It kills. Yes. Hallelujah. You know about it. And the Bible says he went there in Jesus' mighty name, lay hands on the gentleman, and the gentleman got healed. And when news spread, the entire island came to him for prayer. And the Bible says all of them were healed in Jesus' name. That's a gift we're talking about here. Jesus Christ healed. Peter healed. Apostle Paul healed. And many others. There was a problem, an error in the church of Corinth. The Corinthian church brothers had an error there. There were some of those who were flowing in these things started, you know, using them for their status, their superiority, and something like that. And Apostle Paul went and corrected this thing. Say, you know what? The Bible says these things were given for the common good. And Pastor Walker has been good at this. These gifts are given to somebody to bless others in the body of Christ. They are not for our prestige. They are not for our pomp. They are not for anything. They are for the benefit of other people. That goes to say, and somebody said this, he said, you know what? In essence, really the person gifted is not you as a vessel. The person gifted is the recipient of these blessings. So Apostle Paul had to correct this. What is the usage of these gifts? And again, we are told they are for the common good. The usage. They are used. The Bible we read says, as the Spirit wishes, he gives them to anyone. And this is what happens. To my brother here, maybe the gift of prophecy will be given to him. To my sister here, maybe there will be a speaking of tongues. And then to my brother there, maybe the interpretation of tongues. There are 9 gifts listed there. And these gifts have been categorized into 3 groups. There are those we call expression. There are 3 of them that are in that category. They are expressive. There are those that we call revelation gifts. There are 3 of those that reveal things. They are revelation. There are those that we call power gifts. And one of them is the one I'm talking about today. Miracles, Those are powers. The things that happen out of the ordinary. And so the Holy Spirit himself decides. This one, according to the way he has been wired and his passion, I'll give this. This is the reason why. And he does that from time to time. They are not personal to holder. They are not things you can hold and begin to say, now, he is the healer. When he's in town, look out for him. No. He gives them as he wills. That's what we read. So when he uses you today, be careful. Just go to him and say, Lord, thank you for using me as your vessel. The glory and honor belongs to you. I'm available for use again, Father. It's not like, look at the healer, he's here. Are we getting things there? The usage. And again, they come from God. In Acts chapter 2, verse 22, the Bible reads, men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you know yourselves. That was God. Whatever Jesus Christ did, that was God doing it through him. How many people know that Jesus Christ is the only one that has the Spirit without measure? And so he could flow in any one of these situations. He had the Spirit without measure. His anointing was without. Jesus was anointed just as you can be anointed. It was after the anointing that Jesus Christ began his ministry. You know why? Because he depended on that anointing from God. And so whatever he did, God did it through him. Apostle Paul, Apostle Peter, and all of us, it will work the same way. I'll be winding up shortly. There are questions, maybe a few questions that I would like to ask. And these questions are being asked all over. Maybe one question that we may ask ourselves today is, are these gifts still valid today? Are they still working today? Do we need them today when we have hospitals and other things? And also many questions. A question like this was asked to a cross-section of people. These are the following are the answers that were obtained. The secessionists say no. Somebody say, are these gifts still valid today? Are they there for today? The secessionists say, no, they don't exist. And then we have the Pentecostals. They said, yes, these exist. And then there was an answer in between, which is maybe. This came from a large sector of open but cautious evangelicals. Maybe. Maybe the question comes to you today, as Jesus Christ with his disciples. Who do you think people say I am? And then how about you? Can I do likewise? Can you turn to your neighbor and discuss these things? How about you? Do you think these exist today? Ask your neighbor. If you got an answer, give it to him. What about you? Do you believe these things exist? Because they will happen to you to the extent you believe or not. Some of you have really put you on the spot. What is your answer? Yes, no, yes, or maybe. That maybe. It could be a reason. God still performs these miracles today. They are there today. In the book of Mark, chapter 16, verse 15, he said to them, go into all the whole world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink dead poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. Please, I'm not going to say you go and try poison today. That will be something else. It's not what we're talking about here. Do you hear the commission here? Go and do it. Who was Jesus Christ telling? His disciples. You know the generation he's talking to? It's this generation. So if they're not happening today, or if they were not for today, he was not going to give this great commission. For your own information, the salvation that you receive has a core component of deliverance and healing in it. It's a package. You know those Christmas hampers that you receive? Fruits, chocolates. I attended a wedding recently. Goodness. When we were coming out, we were given a parcel. I've never been to a wedding. Parcels, you know, my wife. She's the one, when we got home, and I'm fixing to rest, it was late. My wife started opening those. Honey, there are good things here. Comes, boom. A round thing of very expensive chocolates. So, oh, good. And then she goes into it again, boom. Comes with something, a beautiful jewel. Comes again, boom. A watch, very expensive watch. And I'm saying, this was a pack. It's a package. So your salvation is a package. It's got everything in it. In Jesus' name. James chapter 5, 16. Therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. So all these things reveal to us that gifts are for today. I will end with this. Let's look at the biblical basis of what we're talking about. Spiritual healing is part of this Bible from Genesis up to Revelation. Healing, go anywhere here, you'll find it is there. Go in the Old Testament, or go to the New Testament, you'll find it there. It is always there. Let's look at some examples in the Old Testament. In the book of Exodus, chapter 23, verse 25, it says, I will take away sicknesses from your midst. Psalms 107, verse 20, he said, he sent his word and healed all their diseases. Psalms 103, verse 2 to 3. Psalms 103, verses 2 to 3. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all my sins and heals all diseases. But you see, the problem with the Old Testament promises, they were all limited in operation. Most of them, they are conditional. If you do this, if you do this, if you do this. But Isaiah comes up with a revelation for this dispensation, for this church today. Isaiah 53. But he was pierced, verse 5. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds or by his stripes, we are healed. And Jesus Christ actually demonstrated this word here. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 16, 17, you see a lot of healings. In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, the Bible says how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with power and the Spirit, who went about doing good and healing all who were sick or all who were oppressed by the devil. Jesus Christ confirmed this. He did. Go quoting somebody by the name of Carter, who says, "No gift of the Spirit is an exercise of any natural faculty of talent, but is a demonstration of the supernatural power of the Spirit of God." You see the hand of God. For us today, we are in the new dispensation, the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. All those promises God made in the Old Testament were pointing out to the coming of the Messiah, the messianic coming, who is not only going to remove sickness among us, but who's going to take away the sin of the world. The first thing Jesus Christ had to deal with is the sin of the world. Is the condemnation, is the alienation of person from God, removing that barrier and bringing mankind to God. Now that you are a child of God, healing belongs to you. Now that you are a child of God, you have been delivered. The Bible says, by His stripes, you were healed. These belong to you. Now that we are in a dispensation where Jesus Christ promises to delegate these powers into us and flow in them, so we can lay hands on the sick, they can recover. We are the candidate, God's choice for these operations. We can flow in this. My brother and my sister, all you need to do is to set yourself up for these things. Is to position yourself where God can use you. I don't know, some of you have been earmarked by the Holy Spirit, has been dealing with you for a long time, because He wants to use you in some of these spectacular things, these supernatural, rather, abilities. I remember Ben Hinn some years back saying, Catherine Kuhlman said this. He says, "You know what? The calling upon my life, the gifting upon my life," that was Catherine Kuhlman, who says, "The calling and the gifting upon my life actually were not initially for me. They were for a man who disobeyed God. And God decided to move them and put them on me." And some of you, the Holy Spirit has been struggling with you. He wants to use you in a greater way, but you don't seem to be ready to be used. Somehow, because of ignorance, or somehow, because of disobedience, or somehow, you just don't know what to do. You didn't understand things, maybe, but the Holy Spirit would like to use you. But you need to be a vessel that has prepared, a vessel that has an understanding. Apostle Paul said, remove the ignorance that God can use you in these issues. I would like us to focus on this for a moment. Look at yourself. If you cannot see a person God cannot use, you have been saved. You've been delivered from sin. Resurrection is the power in you. A child of God will never die. So there is all this. And that's why for a person that hasn't known Jesus Christ, these are the things that are missing. If you don't know Jesus Christ, there's a lot that you're missing. And the reason, that's why Jesus said, "I do not want anyone to perish." God did not want anyone to perish. He sent Jesus Christ. And today as I speak, I want you to know that God wants you in the kingdom, that you become the candidate of this, you become the beneficiary of these things we're talking about. Let's just close our eyes as we pray. As we close this thing, Caesar, please, let's minister together. Spend a very short time. Your prayer must be very reflective. Whether you listen to what I'm saying now or not, but I just want your prayer to be very reflective. Because you are the candidate God wants to use. But before we move into this,
I would like to ask somebody here. You haven't received, accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. There is a lot we can talk about here. But in short, God wants you that you become the candidate of the things I've talked about. You become the beneficiary of the things we've talked about. God wants to deliver you from the chains of sin, from the pangs of sin, from the chains of the devil, because you are created by Him in His own image. Wash you, cleanse you, remove the condemnation. Do you hear? You say, Pastor, every eye please closed. He said, Pastor, that's the first step I want to take. I want to accept Christ as my Lord and Savior. I'm coming back home. Could you please raise your hand wherever you are? I want to pray with you. Thank you for that hand over there. Any other? Thank you for that hand over there too. Any other? Before we move on, any other hand, please? Thank you. Please put that hand down. Thank you. Seeing you. Where? Thank you for that hand over there. Please put it down. Thank you. Any other? Pastor, I'm coming home today. You're so important. I want those of you that raise your hands to take a step of faith. While everybody else is praying, because I've got something else for you. Step up here. Just quickly, quietly, pick up whatever you came with, your bag, your cell phone. Just walk. The people that raise your hands, sir, please just walk. Step up here quickly. Just quickly. I want to meet with you right here in front. Oh, you didn't raise your hand, but you feel you should. Just walk up to the front here. Thank you. No hand, please. No hand. Let's just be in that mood. No clapping. Just reflect in your prayer. I want to meet with this. Please come. Come and meet with me here. God is a good God. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, they're still coming. God is a good God. He loves you so much. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Praise be to God. He's a good God. I was there. He saved me. It doesn't matter what you've come in life. The decision you've made is an intelligent decision. God is going to wipe away your past life. He's giving you a new life in Him, in His Son. And so I want you to raise your right hand, close your eyes, and repeat the following words after me. Father God, I come to you just as I am. I've realized I'm a sinner, but your word says, if I call upon your name, I confess Jesus Christ with my mouth and believe in my heart that He is the Son of God, I shall be saved. Today, I invite you, Jesus, to be Lord and Savior of my life. I give my life to you today. I give my whole to you. Lord Jesus, thank you for accepting me, for delivering me, for setting me free from the power of the devil. Now that I'm your child, oh, fill me with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen.